Okay.
No, we're from New Hampshire.
So this shear is called Korach Hanavi. Okay. Okay, and it's a shear from Parshas Korach. The main sources will be Chumash Rashi and Medrash Tanchuma. Will be the pretty much the only sources. One little Rambam, little Gemara, but basically that's all. And it's going to be in the world of Medrash genre. And it's really Parshas Korach. It's just, you know, I come across this idea a couple years ago, and just it's always during the summertime. And so I just, you know, this year I did it. I wrote down notes and figured I'd give it over during the year. That's the problem, okay? So you have to get your head back into Parshas Korach. Okay, fine. So let's start. Let's start. There's a couple of key Rashis to begin with, and then we'll start trying to get to some sort of answer. But the first one is Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Aleph, Vayikach Korach. Okay? So the first Rashi like this. Is, the Pasuk is Vayikach Korach Ben Yisrael Ben Kos Ben Levi. Right? And Korach starts, gets together a group of Sanhedrin, Rashi Sanhedrin, we'll see in a second. And he argues on Moshe, the whole machlokus of Moshe. So Rashi says like this, Vayikach Korach, Parsha Ezu, Yafa Nidreshes Ben Medrash Rebbe Tanchuma.
That's interesting.
It's a strange Rashi.
Rashi goes to a lot of effort.
Right. Now, it's not normal for Rashi to say that.
What does he say?
He says this Parsha, Parsha's Korach, is darshaned well, very nicely, in Medrash and Rebbe, in Medrash Tanchuma.
Interesting.
Isn't it? Why does Rashi say that? What's he trying to tell you there?
And Mikra Yotze Midei Pshuto.
Right.
For a guy old that way.
I'm going to sit this one out.
Okay. So what I would tell you is when Rashi does that, I'm not sure if he does it anywhere else, but even if he does it, you know, it's in most a handful of places. It's telling you to look there, okay? That more than Rashi's going to bring down. Most of what Rashi brings down, you'll see, is in Tanchuma, but he's telling you to look there. There's more there than he's even going to bring down, okay? Or else, what else? What is he telling you?
Right.
Okay, so it's to ayin and medrash Tanchuma, and we will do that. We'll be ayin and medrash Tanchuma a little bit. Okay, fine. Then we have the next Rashi, is the same Pasuk, just Vidasan Vaviram. Okay? So in the Rashi says, you see it's a little bit, a few lines into that Rashi, on Pasuk Alf. It says, Umara Korach Lachlok Yemosha. Okay, so this is how Rashi learns the, it's based on Medrash Tanchuma, is what exactly, what did Korach see that caused him to argue with Moshe? Okay. So he says, Niskana al Nisyaso, Nisyuso shall itzafam ben Uziel. Shemino Moshe Nasi al Beneka Has al Piadibor. So he got jealous because Moshe appointed, by the decree of God, Moshe appointed El Itzafan ben Uziel, the Nasi of Beneka Has. Okay, to be the Nasi. Nasi was a prestigious position, right? There's only, you know, three Nasiim for each Levi. One Nasi for each Shevet. Levi himself had, I think, three Nasiim. Ve'kos, Kahas, Merari, and Gershon, I think. So, Uziel's son became the Nasi. Amar Korach, Achi Abba Arbahayu. So my father's brother had, there were four total, right? Shnemar Bnei Kahas V'gomer. So, right, in cost is based, the children cost is four. Amram, Yitzar, Uziel, and I'm missing one. Okay? So it's four. So he says, Amram HaBachor, Amram the first, right, Kahas's firstborn was Amram. Na'alushne Ban of Gedula, both his sons. Amram had two sons, right? Amram's oldest from Kahas, and Amram has two sons. And they both took greatness. Echad Melech v'Echad Kohen Gadol, right? Moshe became the Melech, and Aaron became the Kohen Gadol. Miroi Litel Sashniyah, who should get the next? Well, now there's another position of greatness. Who's next in line? Loani, not I, says Korach. Shnei Ben Yitzar, Shu Sheni Amram. I'm the oldest of Yitzar. Yitzar is the next oldest after Amram, so I'm next in line, right? I'm
Ben Yitzar.
Right, Yitzar was the second, Amram then Yitzar. So mm-hmm. Amram's both kids got their positions, Melech and Kohen Gadol. So who's next? Vihu mana nasi as ben achiv hakatan mikulam, and Moshe appointed Uziel's son, the youngest of them all, in front of me. I'm going to argue with him. I'm going to create a machlokas. I'm going to try to nullify his things and say, basically, Moshe, you're making this stuff up. No way God would have told you that to appoint him above me.
It doesn't work this way.
No, I can tell you one thing. I don't know whether he got this, he got that. There's no way God says, skip over me and go to him. That I can tell you. Okay? And basically try to move out the Moshe's words because he got jealous. Good? Ma'asa, what'd he do? Amad v'kanas masayim v'chamishim rashi sanhedros. He gathered together 250 heads of sanhedrons, right? The Dayanim. Ruba Meshevet Ruvain Shechenov. Most of them came from Ruvain, who was his neighbors. Ari l'rasha al Shechenov. Right, that Rashi. We skipped the beginning part. V'heim Elitzur ben Shteyor v'chaver v'chiyotzebo. And Elitzur ben Shteyor was the Nasi for Ruvain. He was not a small guy. Right, he was the Nasi. He was the one involved in the Karban, you know, in the Hanukkah. The Nesiim each brought a Karban. Mm-hmm. Elitzur ben Shteyor was the Nasi for Shevet Ruvain. Right?
Was he a part of Korach's gang?
He, according to Rashi, he was a part of Korach's. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. And also other 250 Rashi Sanhedros, big guys.
Mm-hmm.
Huge guys. Dayanim, Tanachamim, Nasi, Nesiim, right? These are huge people. Shnemar Nasiye da Kriye Moed, right? That's in Pasuk Beis over here. It says, Vayakum Lifnei Moshe, Vanashim Nei Israel, Hamishim Asayim, Nasiye da Kriye Moed, Anche Shem. These weren't small people he got together. Right, well, how no? Omer Ela Kriya Ida, it's Gzer Shava, right? That by the Nesiim or Kriya Ida, so it's Tor Ben Shteyor and Sheva Ruvain. Fine, Vilbisha and Taliso Shikun Tcheles. Okay, this we're not going to go into so much. Korach's argument against Moshe. He says the Tcheles, right? And the
challenge them on the Tcheles.
Yeah, challenge them on you're making things up. It doesn't make sense. Your Torah Shopah, and that's a whole separate shiur that I'm not going to go into. Okay. So that's the background for the story. Okay, good? So far, so good? Okay. Now take a look at Pasuk Zion. Okay. So Moshe tells them, what we're going to do is, sorry, let's see the Pasuk Vav. Well, let's see the Pesukim first. Moshe tells them, we'll read the Pesukim inside. Right, Moshe hears Korach's claim. What are you? Why are you taking this greatness for yourself and your brother and whatever you want? Moshe falls on his face. Okay, it's a little bit of a double repetition, and whoever God chooses, he's going to, right, he's going to, whoever the Holy One, he'll bring to him. He says it twice, and Rashi will explain that in a second.
Wait, what did Korach do before Moshe put, in that passage, what happened before Moshe put his face on the floor?
Korach got together all these people, and they argued on him.
That's it.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. Okay, he starts the rebellion. Zos asu kuchulachem machtos korach v'chalados. So this is what you're going to do. You're going to take machtos, fire pans, Korach and his whole posse. You're going to put fire on the ketores and ketores on these pans. The one God chooses, he is the one who's holy. Right? It's a big deal what you're doing, B'nai Levi. Okay, good. So now Rashi says, if you look towards the end of Pasuk Vav and Rashi, he says, he says, okay, why is Moshe, we'll just do the whole Rashi. Why is Moshe doing this whole thing with the fire pans? Ma ra lo mer lahem kach, why is he doing this? Amar lahem bedarkei goyim yesh nimusim harbe v'komrim harbe v'ein kulam miskatzin ba'is echad. Your goyim have many different avodah zaras, different religions, different houses of worship. Anu ein lanu el Hashem echad, aron echad, Torah achas mizbeach echad, kohen gadol echad. We have one Mikdash, one Aaron, one Mizbeach, one Kohen Gadol. Right? We have one God, and we don't have many different religions. Atam Asayim V'chamishim Mishim V'akshin Kohen Gadol, 250 people, you want to be Kohen Gadols? Afani Rotz B'kach, yeah, me too, that'd be wonderful. Let's see if we can work that out. Heilechem Tashmish Chaviv Mikol. Here's the most Chaviv Tashmish, most Chaviv Avod in the Mikdash, which is what? The Ketores. Hi HaKetores HaChaviv Mikol Karbanos. B'sam HaMavis Nasim B'socho. Shibo Nisrifu Nadu V'Naviyu. That it's poison, it's dangerous. The Ketores. Another Neviyu, because they brought a Ketores they weren't commanded on, they were destroyed. So you're playing with fire here, literally. Lefiga, Chisra Behem, he warned them, V'haya isha she yivchar Hashem hu hakadosh. The man that God chooses, he's going to be the Holy One. Kfar hu b'kdushaso, hu hakadosh, he already was kadosh. V'chena yodim she mish yivchar hu hakadosh, el amr lam Moshe, we do it's pashit. Whoever got chosen, of course he's kadosh. What is Moshe telling them? Hari omer lechem shelo tischayv, I'm trying to tell you, so you're not be chayv misa. Mish yivchar bo yetzechai, whoever God chooses will come out alive. V'kulchem ovdim, and everybody else is going to be destroyed. Okay, that's what Moshe warned them. That's what Rashi's darshan said. Va'isha she yivchar Hashem hu hakadosh in pasuk Zion. Whoever God chooses, he's going to be kadosh. He's going to come out alive, and the rest of you are going to be dead. So you basically 250. There's only one kohen gadol. Okay, one
who
is going.
Moshe
is warning them. One of you is coming out alive. Maybe it's Aaron. Maybe it's one of you, and everybody else is going to be destroyed. Okay.
Wait, so is it Aaron versus all of them?
Well, it could be one of them.
No, but who is...
One. Moshe is saying one of you is going to... One of this group, 250 in Aaron, 251 people, one guy's going to choose one of them to come out alive, and everybody else is going to be destroyed.
Was there a rabbit option in there that they could run away? Or
don't do it. You could back out now.
Back out now.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's what Moshe was saying.
Yes,
back out now.
Back out
now. You're in for the final...
Correct. This is an all or nothing.
You're in for the cookout.
Correct. This is an all or nothing.
So okay. It was,
and only one guy's coming out alive.
So it was Aaron plus 250.
Yes.
Yeah. And who brought the guitars?
All of them. All of them. The 251.
All of them.
Yeah, the 251.
Did each one like design his own thing, or they
that don't, I don't know.
Each one of those guys, they didn't believe that they were the one. They thought Korach was the one.
Well, I guess they each thought they were going to be the Kohen Gadol.
Yeah. Wow.
Good question.
That's a good question.
Yeah, what are they thinking? Maybe they just didn't take Moshe seriously.
Well, he says, "Vatem mosayim b'chamishim ish mevakshim kohen gadol."
They all want to be a kohen gadol.
All you want to be kohen gadol.
Right.
All of you.
Moshe says that'd be wonderful. Let's try, but I'll tell you what's going to happen.
I think Korach convinced them that any one of
right.
them.
Right. Koleda kulin kadoshu.
Yeah. That any one of
right.
them was.
Korach wasn't control. Saying he's going to be the kohen gadol. He was saying, "I'm fighting for all of you."
Right.
So I believe, he,
right.
But I don't know, wasn't Aaron already the Kohen Gadol?
Yeah, but Korach's claim was that Moshe made that up.
Yeah, that it wasn't legit.
Right. Yeah, if you look in, I mean, just to skip it, there's a Rashi in Pasuk Yitetz, Vayikalu Aleim Korach. He says, Rashi says, Kol alayla yeholich etzla shvatim, upisa sam, he's seducing them. Kisvur matim shalai levad eni makbid, you think I'm just worried about my own kavod? Eni makbid el bishvil kolach, I'm worried all about you. So we got them all in these pasuk kulam. So he convinced them. His argument was he's looking out for everybody's best interest. He's not just in it for himself. Okay, really he was just jealous, angry at Moshe. It's his ultimate motivation, but that's not what he told them. Okay, so they all want to be Kohen Gadol. Moshe's saying that can't happen. I'd love that to happen, but it can't be that way. So one is going to come out alive and everybody's going to come out dead.
I like the style.
Okay. Now Rashi Pasuk Zion. This is the Rashi, which is the primary motivation for this year. Okay, Pasuk Zion. Okay, you ready? That was just the background stuff. Rav Lechem B'nei Levi. Right? This is when Moshe ends off his speech. He says, Rav Lechem B'nei Levi. Davar Gadol Amati Lechem. It's a big deal what I'm telling you. Don't take it lightly. Now Rashi says like this. V'lo tipshim hayu. Were the people not stupid? Shekach hesher behem v'kiblo leim l'karev. He warns them. One of you is going to come alive, or else is going to die, and they still accepted to be mocker of the Ketores and take that risk. Elohim chatol nashal sam. They are responsible. They sinned against their own lives. They are responsible for themselves. Shenemar esamachto sachatoim ha'elu b'nashal sam. That's exactly what God called them. People who sinned against their own lives. Because they Moshe warned them, and they still didn't take it seriously. Now Rashi has this question. V'korach shepikech haya ma'ra l'shtoset. Now Korach is a very intelligent person. Right, he's very smart. What did he? How do we know Rashi Korach is smart?
Because he fooled 250 Nisim.
Okay, possible. Ma relish does that. What made him see get involved in this nonsense?
Because right. It's a stupid brand.
But it's he's jealous. But what see? There's two things. You see, Rashi before explained his emotional motivation, but that's not enough. Rashi's not satisfied by explaining his emotional motivation. Saying what he needs something. Rational justification for how Korach could do something so stupid. A guy could be jealous, but he's not going to just kill himself. Do something that's going to kill himself, right? So the beforehand Rashi was providing you the emotional justification. This Rashi in Pasuk Zion is giving you Korach's rationalization for how this made sense. Okay, how it made sense for him to get involved in this nonsense. Eino hidaso. His eye tricked him. What does that mean? Okay. Okay. Ra shalshel's gedula yotzimenu. He saw through Ruach HaKodesh that a chain of greatness was going to come from him. Shmuel sheshaku keneged Moshe Aaron. Shmuel, who the pasuk equates to Moshe Aaron, right? Moshe Aaron, right? What's the pasuk in Tehillim?
Moshe Aaron
kana Shmuel. Bikori Shemo, right? Exactly. So you see, Shmuel was a descendant of Korach. Did you know that? Oh wow, I didn't. Well, so Shmuel comes from Korach, and he saw Shmuel's going to come from him, and he was equal to Moshe and Aaron. Amar bishvilo ani nimla, because of him, I'm going to be saved. Ve'etzrim v'ar mishmaros omdos lib nebanav kulomis navim bruch hakodesh, and 24 mishmaros of Kohanim, who are ultimately going to come from his grandchildren, all of them have a new prophecy in Ruach HaKodesh. Shneamar kol ele banim lehimon. So all in him was descendant right, it was descendant of Korach in Divrei Yamim. Apparently, it says that.
One question.
Yeah.
Why did Korach need those 250 people? Why couldn't he just do it himself?
I mean, he's trying to create a rebellion against Moshe. It's one also person rebelling; he's not going to do anything.
Also, they gave him legitimacy.
Yeah.
They backed him up.
Yeah, he's trying to create a rebellion. He wants the whole nation to turn on Moshe. He's not looking to be one guy. What's that going to accomplish? Moshe will say no. And everybody's going to say, okay, you're an idiot, Korach. He's got to convince the entire nation to rebel against Moshe.
So he wasn't really seeking for the truth. He was just seeking to rebel. Like, if he was actually seeking for the truth, he would have gone to Moshe privately.
Yeah, I mean, he was trying to mevatel Moshe, in his words. Correct. He had an emotional motivation. That's what Rashi and Pasuk Aleph is showing you. He was motivated emotionally. Okay. But what made him make this mistake and think he was going to get away with it? He saw through Ruach HaKodesh that Shmuel is going to come from him. 24 Mishmaros of Kohanim and Leviim, who all have Ruach HaKodesh and who are going to come from him. Amar, Korach says to himself, Efsher kol gedula zosa sida lamu nimeni v'ni edom. Is it possible all this greatness is going to come from me and I'm going to stay quiet here when Moshe passes me over? So therefore, he joined together and to try to attain that status of, I guess, being a Kohen, a Nasi, something, to get some sort of status. I don't know how to translate that better. Loza Chazaka. Sheshama mipi Moshe, because Korach heard from Moshe, shekulan ovdim v'echanimlat. He heard the warning that all of them are going to be destroyed and one of them is going to be saved. Asher Yivcha Hashem Hu HaKadosh. Right, like the prior Rashi, Korach knew that. Tov v'tol b'atzmo, so he made a mistake based upon this Ruach HaKodesh's nevuah that he had. He saw that Shmuel and all these people are going to call this gedula is going to come from him. And he made the mistake. He said, it must be I'm the one who it's going to be. V'lo ra yafa, he didn't see properly. Lefi shebon of Asher Tshuva, he didn't realize that the way it's going to be is because he's not all going to be destroyed. His kids are not all going to be destroyed, whose kids were a part of his group. Rather, they were going to do tshuva. And b'nei Korach lo mesu. And that's how this is all going to happen. Moshe ha'yira. Right? Tanchuma. In the Tanchuma, Rashi. Openly tell it, right? It's in the Tanchuma, the story.
Moshe kept it a secret.
Moshe saw what was going on. Yeah, he kept it himself.
What do you mean Moshe saw what was going on? Moshe saw that what was going on.
Right? I mean, Moshe realized that wasn't... It didn't make a difference that Shmuel and the Mishmaros were going to come from him. That wasn't going to save Korach.
Moshe knew that Shmuel was going to come from Korach.
I guess Moshe might have known this. It's possible.
How does he get that?
God.
No.
Yeah, Nevuah.
How does Rashi get that from the second one? Like, how do you make something up like that?
Make up what? That Moshe knew or that Korach?
That Moshe knew. Okay, Korach, I can understand because, you know. But if Moshe. You know, like,
okay, that's a good question.
What's the point of Moshe knowing?
Like, how does Rashi know that Moshe knew?
And also, like, what's the point of okay, even if Moshe knew, like, who cares? It didn't affect anything.
Good question. I don't know if we'll be able to answer that. Maybe we will. Maybe I didn't think about that question, but maybe we'll be able to answer that. I have a possible answer for that.
Okay.
But my bigger question is, what's going on here? Since when does Korach have Nevuah? Mehechitesi, where does Rashi get this thing that Korach was a Navi? Is Ruach HaKodesh? Where do you see that Korach is a Navi?
That's one of the questions.
Okay, do you hear that question?
Yeah.
And That's first of all, right? It's a big problem. Mehechitesi. Midrashim, sometimes you take these midrashim and you just think that they're just spinning, you know, big tales, making up crazy stories. Karach's a Navi, he sees Shmuel's going to come from him. And then that makes him think that that explains why he did it, because he knew all this is going to come from him. How could it be that he's destroyed if all this greatness comes from him? Where does Rashi in Tanchuma, where does the Tanchuma get this thing from? Right? Where does the Tanchuma and Rashi get this idea that that Karach's a Navi and his Ruach HaKodesh, and he sees all this? And secondly, what kind of nevuah is this? Was this nevuah just to screw him? What's the purpose of this nevuah?
Yeah.
God just giving Korach a nevuah in order that he makes a mistake and he...
So the Korach should go stand up in Moshe's face.
What kind of nevuah is this? What kind of medrash is this? The whole thing makes... Korach's not a Navi. Where do you get Korach a Navi? And what purpose? What's the purpose of this nevuah? Just to trick Korach? I mean, why?
Yeah,
why give him a nevuah to trick him?
Korach to start trouble.
Yeah, well, he had the motivation, but just to give him the rationalization,
right? That's what I mean, to give him the means.
What kind of medrash is this? It sounds crazy. It sounds like a crazy medrash.
So I'm assuming with the prophesying that with the world of medrash is not a literal.
Yeah.
No. World of medrash doesn't mean it's not literal. World of medrash means take it literally.
Yeah. Wait,
what?
Right.
Take it literally.
No, take it literally, but it didn't actually happen.
That's a different question, whether it actually happened or not. I happen to think, once we get through this year, I happen to think that this is closer to the truth than the simple pshat and psukim. Okay, let's see if I can convince you that this medrash is true, okay? I'm going to try to convince you.
Without the rush,
we're going to take it literally, but we're going to try to show where the medrash got this from.
Right.
You see, if you learn these psukim and you learn all these stories on a deeper level, you'll see how these stories fit together, and the medrash is not coming from nowhere. Okay, that's what I'm postulating.
Okay, so can we just identify what's the part that we usually don't take literally here?
Somebody would say that, I don't know how you would take this not literally, but it doesn't literally mean Karach's a Navi. That can't be.
Right, okay, that's one good point.
Right? I don't know, what would it mean to take it not literally?
What's Karach's a Navi?
What?
What did you just say? What
I don't know. I don't know how a non-literal... I know a person who takes Rashi's completely non-literally. They're all Mishalim. How he would interpret this Rashi. I came in, it's pretty clear Rashi's telling you a story here
The whole story is made up.
Right. It's made up. It's made to teach you some sort of lesson. Right. I don't know.
Some other Musar Haskin.
I don't know. You have to go to somebody else to find out how they're going to learn this Rashi. I tell you, I take Rashi's literally, meaning in the World of Medrash framework. Listen to that shir, okay? Meaning, take the story literally, like Rashi means that this story really happened, not historically, but literally, in a sense. We're going to try to understand what's this background stories that justifies this medrash and gives it sense. That's what we're going to try and understand.
When you say literally, are we saying that it...
Not as a metaphor.
No, I mean, like, when you say literally, doesn't mean that it actually happened, or...
No.
Okay.
No, that's what I mean historically. Historically is a different question. Okay? I happen to think this is... Sometimes the medrash is closer to the historical truth, sometimes pshat is.
In other words, you mean like this, that it's... When we say that Korach had nevuah, we don't...
In the world of medrash, Korach is a
Navi. Mean it in terms of mashal, that the nevuah has to be defined as something else.
Korach represents
That it means that Korach had some kind of a deep, profound idea, an insight into this over here that's like nevuah.
Right. That's not what I mean. In the world of medrash, Korach is a Navi.
Right.
Okay? He's a Navi, and he sees the future, and that's what causes him to trip up. Okay, that's what I mean. That's how I'm taking this. Pshuto k'mashma, the Rashi. Mm-hmm. It's in the world. Mm-hmm. This is the world we're living in now. The world that the Medrash is creating for us. And now we're going to try to understand this world. What other pieces that are we missing to complete the picture such that this Rashi makes some sense? That you would come at the Rukarach Zanavi and then what kind of nevuah is this? It's crazy. Okay? Okay. The first step to take is, first of all, it's implicit in the whole medrash. Is one thing you know from Korach is you look who his descendants are.
Sure.
Shmuel and the Bnei Korach, who all have Ruach HaKodesh, they compose Tehillim, right? Mizmor Shilavne Korach, right? The old of Nekarach Mizmor, right? So we see, yeah, the Nekarach Mizmor. Yeah, it's they say in base novel, I think they say it, right? So, I mean,
how much of Tilm did they write?
A few. I don't know.
David wrote most of it.
David wrote some, Moshe wrote some, B'nai Korach wrote some, right? So, yeah, they wrote most of it, obviously, but. But B'nai Korach, they composed Tehillim. They all had Ruach, a lot of them had Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah. And Shmuel is a descendant of Korach. So we see that Korach was not from his descendants. That's our first indication that he's not just a regular Pashut or a Yid. But there's something special and significant going on with Korach. Okay? That's the first step. That we see there's something special about Korach.
Because of a descendant that says something about him?
Yes, it's just already an indication that there's something, that if he's a person who has great descendants, you can infer that there must be some greatness in him that caused that, that for his children to all be great people, there must be something great about him. It wasn't just a small person.
Say that, but I can say that about Avraham.
What about Avraham?
Avraham's father.
Terach?
Yeah.
Terach is an interesting figure. He's an interesting figure.
Terach, yeah.
Okay, first of all, just one thing. Avraham, even if you want to say Terach, I mean, if you want to say the 10 generations from Noach to Avraham, you have Shem and you have Aver in there. You have some great people, okay?
And Milcah.
Milcah, that's true. They were not descendants. And the Rambam holds they were all possibly lived very long, right? The Nace, that they all passed, maybe they're all Tzaddikim. And even if you don't want to say that by Avram, Avram is always the exception. He's the one person who comes from nowhere. Right. And everybody else comes from him. You don't have a phenomenon like Avram anywhere else.
Right.
So he is the one exception, if you do. And there's a reason, there might be reasons to say that as descendant of Shem and Aver, that he was on that line, that there was, he didn't just come from nowhere either. Okay, fine. Avram.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, his ancestors were great people also.
Aver were his elders?
Yeah, his ancestors, a few generations earlier than him. He's on that chain. Right, Noach, Shem, two generations, Aver, and then, right, correct. So he's not just some random, right? Okay. I'm just saying that's one thing to notice about Korach, that Chazal see about Korach, okay? The second thing is like this. Now here's a few Medrash Tanchumos, which I'll read for you. Where Chazal identify. Now, the other thing to realize about Korach is that where his position is. I mean, the Levium are, Shevet Levi is the greatest, is the best Shevet, right, in general. They're the ones who God chose to serve him. They didn't send Egel, they didn't send the Meraglim, the entire Shevet Levi. So they're all not simple people. And Korach is, after Moshe and Aaron, he's the next guy in line, right? In theory, right? I mean, his argument, he got skipped, he was insulted, but in theory, he shouldn't.
That was a nice little argument.
Correct.
About the four sons, yeah.
Correct. Now, if you look at the Medrash Tanchuma, it goes a little further. It says, it's in the middle of Medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Korach Beis. Okay, I'm just going to read you, I'm going to skip around a little bit just to show you how the Medrash is viewing Korach. It's Amru Chachameinu Zichron Bracha, this is the Medrash. Chacham Gadol Haya Korach. He was a big Chacham. Okay, and we'll see from him. Umito'ane Ha'aron Haya. And he was, Korach was one of the people who carried the Aron. Okay. Shinemar v'livnei kahas lo nasan ki avodas hakodesh aleihem b'kasef yiso. So kahas didn't get any wagons because kahas, they carried all the clay mikdash on their shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And Korach ben Yitzer ben kahas. And Korach was a descendant of kahas. So he wasn't, not only was Korach one of the Levium, which was the Shevet, the highest Shevet, but he was from Kahas, which was the select group of the Levium, who, right, there's Gershon, Kahas, and Merari, and Kahas was the highest of the Levium. He was the creme de la creme. Okay, so, and he was one of the ones, according to Chazal, that he was a Chacham Gadol. He didn't just carry the Shulchan or whatever. He was one of the ones who carried the Aron. There's only a few people who carried the Aron. Four people, I'm not sure, four, right? Okay. Okay. Okay, now that's, I'm going to skip the rest of that Medrash. We'll come back to the very end. Okay, the very end. I'll come back to it. Now I'll skip to Medrash Gimel. Okay, this is one of my favorite Medrashim. It's very funny. Okay, it's a very funny Medrash, and it's you realize it. Okay, so one thing to realize is in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, before the whole chain of sins began, right? The sins are the sin of the misonanim, when they complain, the kivros taiva, then the meraglim, then korach, right? So before all that, Klal Yisrael is, they're counting, there's the count, the census, they bring the Shevet Levi, right? And they separate Shevet Levi and they substitute Shevet Levi for the Bechors, right? Where they count how many Bechors and Bnei Yisrael there are, and then Shevet Levi becomes, there's a chila, there's an exchange of a Levi for every Bechor. Right, the subs because the Bechor sinned at the Egel, and now Shevet Levi is taken in lieu of the Bechors. Okay, at the beginning it's in Parshas Naso, maybe. Okay, I'm not sure. Before Bahalosha, I think, but I'm not sure. Either Bahalosha or Naso. Okay, so now what was the purification process? How do you Levi? So what they did with the Levium was they had to, like a Mitzorah, they had to shave all their hair, okay, and they had to
on the body and the hair,
all body hair everywhere. Okay, and they go to mikvah, I think, and then Aaron would wave them up, down, left, and right. I think, okay,
wave them.
La tenufa,
pick them up and wave.
Pick them up and wave them. Yes, every single one of them. That's where Rashi says you see Aaron was like a tremendous gibor that he was able to 22,000 in one day, or God gave him super strength. Okay, Ramban says that 22,000 in one day, you know, one after the other. Okay, so he has to pick up all these people. Okay, that's the process, and then they were exchanged for the bechors and the extra bechors. There's 273 extra bechors. They had to be put themselves with 5 shkalim. We ring a bell the whole story, a little bit. No, okay, fine. Now more missions like this. Bishosh Amar Leikash Baruch Hu Moshe Kachas Laviyam Itoch Bnei Yisrael V'Tiarto Osam V'Chos Asa Tarim V'Gomer. Right? When God said to Moshe, take B'Sheva Levi and purify them, and this is what you should do, so and so. Okay? It's, I think, Bamidbar Parakhes. Okay? Which we just described. Miyad, also Moshe came to Korach. So immediately Moshe goes to Korach and does it. Okay? Now the Etzios explains why. Fisha Aaron hay Kohen, V'loim Agalchan also. Aaron was a Kohen, you didn't do Giluch and Aaron. V'imkin acher Moshe. Moshe's not doing. Moshe's the one doing this process, right? Hayakorach shebnei kasa yamram v'yitzar v'korach hayben yitzar imkin hu hayagadol shebelevim. So Korach was the god of Levim. He went first in this purification process. Okay. So hischil lachazer al kol Yisrael v'lohi makir noso. So after Moshe did this whole purification process to Korach, so he goes back to his, you know, his friends, his family. And nobody recognized him. Okay? Amrulo mi asav chakach, who did this to you? Right? Because they shaved him like a pumpkin. Okay? Totally bald. Completely unrecognizable. And he goes back to his friends. He's the first one. Because he's the gadol of a little Shevet Levi. And from Mustami goes first. And they say, who did this to you? What happened? Who are you? I'm Korach. He said, I'm Korach. Who did this to you? Okay, Amar Lam Moshe Asa Bikach. Moshe did this to me. Velo'o, not only did he shave me like a pumpkin, Ela Nataluni Biyadai Uviraglai. He took me by my hands and my feet. Vayimanifinosi, and they waved me around. Veomerli, and they say to me, Hariata Tahor, you're Tahor now.
Oh my God, now I see what you mean. It's hilarious.
It's funny.
Amazing.
And he's the first guy to go.
Oh,
it's
amazing.
Okay.
They wave me around like a flag.
Vehavius Aaron Achiv, and he brings Aaron, his brother. V'kishto kikala, he's dressed up like a kala, like a bride, with his big dick kahuna, with his golden thing, right, doing wonderful. V'oshibo olmoed, and Aaron's sitting in the olmoed, dressed up like a kala,
right.
And me, I'm bald like a pumpkin, right, waving around, saying, tell me I'm tahor. V'yad hischilu sone Moshe lizgaros bo es Yisrael v'amru Moshe melech v'aron achav kohen gadol b'nei Aaron signe kahuna. Truma Lekohen, Maiser Rishon Lekohen, fine, it goes through their whole argument.
This is the Medrash Tanchuma.
Medrash Tanchuma, exactly.
That's amazing.
Wait, what's the last part?
Creative mind.
Right, but you realize he's the one who went first. Why? Because he was the gadol of Shevet Levi. Right?
Which is interesting that he was the one that he put himself in front of Moshe because of this.
Moshe told him, Korach, come here.
Yeah.
And what's he supposed to do? Say no to Moshe. Moshe's the Melech, and at this point, he hasn't started anything. This was the first. This was the beginning. This is even before all the sins. This is the beginning of when Korach starts saying, "I'm not so happy about this."
I'm saying this could have given Korach the idea that he was next in line because he was.
Oh yeah, he was.
He was previously next correct. In line.
Yes, yes. Not only you see, I want to show you something else. Not only did Korach believe it, but Moshe believes
it. Right.
Because Moshe right. goes to him first.
Right. That gives.
After Moshe, Aaron is Korach because he is. Why was Korach skipped? Not because Moshe skipped him. Rashi says. Right? Rashi is very clear in Pasuk Aleph. He says, Niskana Nisiusa Shalit Safan Ben Uziel Sheminahu Moshe Nasial Bene Kahas Al Piyadibor. As Al Piyadibor, God tells Moshe, who should you appoint? Elit Safan Ben Uziel. Had it been Moshe, what would Moshe have done? Moshe would have gone to Korach. Because Korach was the Gadol, he was a Chacham Gadol. He was Mito'ane Ha'aron, he carries the Aron, he was the Gadol of the Shevet. When Moshe had a choice of doing all the Levi'im, who does he start from? Korach. He doesn't start from Leit Safon. Right? So you see Moshe in Aaron's eyes, Korach is next. And Korach's eyes, he's too. And just somehow, Mipia Divor skipped over, and Korach said, I don't believe you. But you see, Moshe thought that Korach was the number one guy. Right? Yeah, go ahead.
It's like a hypothetical question. If Moshe and Aaron weren't from the firstborn guy, Aaron, right?
Right.
Then would let's say they're from the second. Would Korach wouldn't complain then, right?
I mean, his argument would have been a little bit weaker. Yeah, but that's it wasn't the case.
It's just like
There is an idea of Bechor, and there's an idea of Yichus, and the Torah recognized that.
You gotta like. You know,
yes.
Face to face. Some people are just not. You know,
no, look, the Torah is replete with stories where the oldest gets passed over, Esav and Yaakov, this week's Parsha, right? Last week's Parsha. David was the youngest. You know, you have all the many times where the youngest Yosef.
Right. So I just like why is that
Menashe, Ephraim over Menashe? Plenty of times the Torah,
why is that a good like?
No,
why?
Because in general, you follow the order of birth and Nachala and Kavod. Kavod and positions go by Nachala inheritance, and that goes by Bechor goes first. He's Nochel, and there is a general social hierarchy of Kavod and Gedula that is followed, except in cases where God overrides it. Now God has a tendency to override these things because He sees into people's hearts and He decides He wants David or He wants Yaakov but in general there is this idea, and you see Moshe and Aaron, according to the Medrash, respected that, and they went to Korach first, and maybe Korach didn't appreciate that so much in the end of the day, but you see they viewed it that way. Okay, that's how Moshe and Aaron, Korach wasn't fantasizing. He was a Chacham Gadol. He was the one of the ones who Mito'ani Ha'aron, not just the Shulchan or the Mizbeh, the Aaron itself. And then Aaron and Moshe recognize that. They go to him first. He's the Gadol of the whole Sheva. Okay. And I should say, and again, the Pasuk, the Medrash Tenchuma deduces it from a Pasuk. Okay. If you look in the way Moshe speaks to them, see if I can find where this Pasuk is. It says in Pasuk Ches, Perek Al Pasuk Ches. It says, "Vayomer Moshe al Korach, Shimuna b'nei Levi." Okay, so the Medrash is bothered. Yeshlecha Adam shemedabrim Yosef Omer l'Shimon. It's a funny pasuk. Vayomer Moshe al Korach, Shimuna b'nei Levi. Who's he talking to? Korach b'nei Levi. Okay, so the Medrash has a whole thing. But then look at in his message. He says, Hamat mikem, is it so little that God has chosen you? Ki yivdil kesha eschem yadas Yisrael akir eschem elav. La'avodis avos mishkan Hashem v'lamad lefnei eidol ashar sam, is so little that you shave a Levi. What are you throwing it all away? Don't get caught up in Korach. He's trying to save Levi from Korach's rebellion. Then this pasuk. V'yakriv oscha, and he brought you near. V'es kol achecha b'nei Levi itach. And all your brothers are b'nei Levi with you. Ubikashtem gam kahuna. Now you want also the kahuna. So Medrash page, what does it mean? Ve'yakriv oscha, ve'es kol achecha b'nei Levi itach, and all your brethren, the b'nei Levi, with you. Who's he talking to? So the Medrash says like this. What's going on? After he speaks to Levi, that first pasuk is, it's so little that God separates you. It says chazra al Korach. Moshe goes back to Korach. Pasuk Yud is he talking to Korach again, right? Is Vayakriv Oscha Ves Kolchecha B'nei Levi. Shaya Gadol Shebeshevet, that Korach was the greatest of the Shevet, right? Not just a Chacham Gadol Mitoane Aaron, he was the openly, he was the Gadol Shevet. Shinasu Echav Tafelo. You see the Pasuk Moshe made even after his rebellion at this point. Moshe made all Achecha B'nai Levi Tafel to Korach, because Korach was the head of Levi. Moshe is his own thing, Aaron is the Kohanim, and who's the head of the Levium? I mean, the Nasi, yes, the Nasi, but Moshe, when he's speaking to Korach in a social setting, he makes all B'nai Levi Tafel to Korach. Good?
So at this point, Korach, there's no reason for Korach to complain.
No, he's complaining because he's the Gadol of the Sheva, he's a Chacham Gadol, he's Mitoane Aaron, and still, he's skipped over for the Nasi. Why isn't he the Nasi of the Sheva? So Korach is very upset.
They told him he was Torah and they shaved him.
But like in front of him.
He went first for that.
Yeah, but I think he just said that Moshe Rabbeinu, in a social setting looks to him as...
He's still treating him like that. You see, he says, V'koch ech b'nei Levi, he's Gadol
Shebeshevet. Yeah, he's giving him covet.
Right, he's mechabim. He's recognizing Kirk's not a small person, and that's the Rashi gets pikecha. He's a smart man. How can you make these mistakes? Okay,
he should say you have a role here.
He's not a small person.
So what's the question? What are we supposed to think about?
Nothing. You're gonna follow. We're following the thing. We're just following the different clues that the Medrash is picking up on the way Moshe addresses you. Look, the three things so far that the Medrash. The subtleties we're seeing. We see one is Korach's lineage. We see who comes from him. Great people come from him. Some of the greatest people come from Korach. We see who his ancestors are, right? He's from Kahas, of the creme de la creme of the Levium. And after Amram is Yitzhar. So we see his parents and his grandfather and father are great people. His sons and his descendants are great people. Okay, and we see the way Moshe addresses him makes him the Iker of the Shave and everybody else tuffle to him. So we see Korach is not a small person. From these three clues, the Medrash builds a picture of Korach. Because if you notice, and this is something we'll discuss at the very end, Korach does not appear anywhere beforehand. You never hear anything about Korach, Tepash's Korach. But you don't. He's nobody. He doesn't come from anywhere.
We hear about his sons, but not him.
Well, later on we hear about his sons. You know, later on the Novi. But the Medrash is painting the picture of who Korach was. In order to appreciate what is going on in Korach, you have to appreciate who Korach was, the position he held. Okay, and what, that's the whole source of the Medrash, that he was skipped over. You're saying, where did the Medrash get this idea from? He's jealous he got skipped over. Because you realize where he was, his position, that's where the whole thing,
right.
if you just learn the Psukim shot, you don't get all this. The Medrash takes subtle clues and builds a whole story, realizing who Korach is, what's motivating Korach. Okay, and now we're getting closer to where he got Nevuah from. It sounds strange, correct? As I'm saying, the Medrash is filling
it's great.
Out.
It's like a bedtime story.
Exactly. We're just getting started. Okay, no, we're actually getting closer to the solution. Okay, now I want to go back in time a little bit. Okay, so now let's turn to an. Okay, so far, I'm not saying any Chiddush. This is just open Midrashim. Rashi's Midrashim. Have I said anything new?
Just facts.
Just facts. Just open.
I want to think about this.
Far. I haven't said as far. I haven't said anything. This is just facts, okay? Okay, so now, before I start giving any Chiddushim here, let me just start to justify. When does Parshat Korach occur? Okay? When does it occur? It's not so Parshat when it occurs. Yes. So Ramban learns one way. I think Rashi agrees. I just want to show you first Rashi agrees, so you can, okay? So if you look in Rashi, Perek Tzayin Pasuk Daled. Okay. Like I said, part of the idea of World of Medrash is you have to put all Rashis together. The Rashis fit together. To learn Rashis in isolation is not the way to learn Rashis. If you take each Rashi and you analyze it, what's the idea of this Rashi? You're missing something. All the Rashis, yes. Yeah. Well, look, some people learn that way. There is an idea of learning that, but that's like learning a Gemara, not realizing there's like three other Gemaras that are interrelated with it. There's a sugya here, okay? So you kind of have to get the whole context of the stories. So now when Rashi's in Pasuk Dalva, Yipol Apanav, why does Moshe fall on his face? At the very beginning, after Korach and his whole rebellion, Vayipol Apanav, Rashi's Mibnei Machlokas, because of the whole arguments, the division, Shekvar Zebi Yadam Sirchon Revi, this was the fourth sin. Yeah.
Yeah, was it because that they already sinned so many times that he thought that God was like, going to kill everyone?
Yeah, yes. You remember this one?
I think it's because my cousin,
oh,
who's a rabbi,
Not because of the Shnei Mikra?
Of the no, because he was like, he happened to be like giving this Dvar Torah.
Okay, next time you Shul. Say, next time you say because of Shnei Mikra, of course you remember.
Yeah, it's really not, I think, it's funny, like, I think.
next time. Okay, good. No, correct. That is why. That is why. It's the fourth time. Chatu be'egel v'yachal Moshe. V'yachal Moshe. It's Pnei Hashem l'kav, right? So when they sin by egel, Moshe davened. B'misonanim, right? When they complained for no apparent reason. V'yispala Moshe. Moshe davened for them, right? B'miraglim. At the miraglim. V'yomer Moshe Hashem v'shomer Mitzrayim. Moshe davened for them again at the miraglim. B'machlakosa shel korach nisrash yadav. Okay, it was too much. He gave up. Mashal ben Melech shesarech al aviv. The pious are fine. Okay, Rashi gives a whole mashal there. My point for bringing this Rashi is you see Rashi is learning historically or chronologically in the Torah that this is after the Meraglim. After the Misonin, after the Meraglim. That's when this occurs.
Yeah.
Open a Rashi. Open a Rashi, okay?
Okay.
Shneimecha. Okay. Now, let us go back to the Misoninim. Okay? Perik Yud Aleph. Okay, the Misonanim.
This is still in like the early stages of.
It's before the. This is Parshas Korach is basically the end of, towards the end of the second year, after the Chayim Raglam, after they'd already been decreed that they were going to die in the desert. If you look at Rashi's on Dasan of Aviram, we're not going to get there. That's part of what bothered Dasan of Aviram, that they'd already
still
been
alive.
This is the only place they come up in this one spot.
Well, I mean, come on. Also in
you remember that we there for that year? We there for that year? The Dasan of Aviram year?
No.
Oh, that's also World of Medrash year. The Dasan of Aviram.
No, but didn't they come up one more another time prior?
A few places. A few places.
But like in
yes, in Mitzrayim. Yeah, a few places.
Yeah,
it
should have been dead already. How did they survive?
No, it's like 1 year. It's all within 1 or 2 years. Dasan of Aviram.
What's what are they wasting their time?
No, but okay, fine. We'll take it out. You listen to that shit. Okay. It's not interesting shit.
Within 1 or 2 years?
No, you're right, you're right. It's before Moshe left to Midian. So that's 60 years. Okay. Whatever. Moshe lived it the whole time. Who knows how old they were? They could have been 80 years old also. What's the problem?
Yeah, time shifts around over here.
Right. Yeah, don't worry about it. The world, yeah. World of Measure is not concerned about time. Okay?
They're all like young.
So long as they could be alive, they are. Okay? That's another thing to not worry about. Okay. So in the Misonanim, right? This is right after... So they complain right after they leave Har Sinai. It's Perek Yud Aleph, correct. Okay, so first there's the Misonanim, right? Then the fireball comes and kills some of them. And then they complain about they want meat, right? Okay, and then Moshe says, I can't take this anymore, right? And God's solution for him is... Moshe says, I'm no longer capable of carrying them. And God says to him, it's in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Tezayin, Ve'yomer Hashem Moshe, Esfali Shivim Ish Mezikne Yisrael, Asher Data Kihem Zikne Am Veshotrov. Vakakno Se'ol Moed V'yisyatzu Sham Imach. So take them, take 70 Zekanim, because the original Zekanim, according to Rashi, had died, right? If you look in Rashi Tezayin, right, you alone, Moshe says, you can't carry this whole nation. You're the only one responsible. You were with the original Zekanim, right? Hello, they died in the Misonim when the fire that killed Rashi learns that the Zekanim, the original Zekanim, were killed in the fire, right? The original Zekanim. Okay, and these were replacement Zekanim. That's how Rashi learns.
Good.
That's another shit. Oh, the original Zekanim. Another World of Medrash one. Okay, good. So now he's replacing them. This is the new Sanhedrin, right? This is the new 70 Zekanim with Moshe on top, right? We learn halachos from this about Sanhedrin, how it's structured. 70 and 1, Moshe. Okay, this is the new Zekanim. Okay, now what's going to happen? The Yeradati, and God says, I'll come down, but the Barti Imcha Sham, I'll speak to you there. And I will take, okay, some of the, separate some of the ruach HaKodesh that's on you, and I'll place it on them. V'nasu itcha b'masa am v'lo tisa t'levadecha. Okay, and then you're gonna, and they're gonna carry the burden because they're gonna be the Sanhedrin, and they're gonna have some of the ruach, some of the ruach from Moshe was gonna be taken from Moshe and placed on them. Okay. And now, if you look, so then there's Torah takes a little break. Okay, and then it comes back to it in pasuk chaf hay. Okay. Let's do pasuk chaf dalad. Vayitzi Moshe v'idaber la'am es divrei Hashem. Moshe goes out, tells the people what God said. Vayesav shivim ish mizikne am vayamet osam seviva soel. And he gathers 70 zikanim that Moshe chooses, and he has them go around the ohel. Vayirat Hashem ba'anan v'idaber elav. God comes down in a cloud and speaks to them. Vayatzam in aruach asher alav vayitin al shivim ish mizikanim. And some of the ruach that's for Moshe, God separates and places on the Shivim Ish Lizakanim. Vahi Kenoch Alehim Haruach, Vahisnabu Velo Yosafu. And when the Ruach comes on them, so they have Nevuah Velo Yosafu. And they don't, we're going to see, what does Rashi say? Velo Yosafu. Lo Nisnavu El Oso Hayom Levado. The Zakanim, the Shivim Zakanim, had Nevuah on that one day alone. Kach Mefurish Pesifri. Okay, Unklus learns otherwise. Tirgam v'lo paskin shlo paskin nevuah meham. They didn't stop having nevuah. Okay, but Rashi learns, simple, is that they, lo yosafu was they never had nevuah. It was a one-time nevuah. On the Shem Zakanim, from Moshe Rabbeinu, it was taken from Moshe, placed on the Zakanim, and they all have nevuah on that one day. Okay. Next pasuk. V'yisharu shnei anashim b'machana, shema el echad eldad v'shema sheni meidad, v'atanach aleham aruach, v'hem v'ksuvim, v'lo yatsa ola v'isnavu b'machana. Okay, Eldad and Medad, they don't go in. They don't join up with the Shem Zakanim, the two. They also have Nevuah in the Machane. Not by the Olmoid, but in the Machane. Okay, and then the Pesukim continue that Moshe finds out about this, that Moshe, the Eldad and Medad, Misnavim Machane, that they're right, Vayagid Lamoshe, Vayartsanar, Vayagid Lamoshe, Vayomer, Eldad and Medad, Misnavim Machane. Okay, and Yeshua wants to lock them up. Okay, fine. Right, Meeting Kolam Hashem Nevi'im. Moshe is very happy. Okay, now let's take a look at Rashi. Okay. V'yishu shnei anashim, me'osan shenivcharu amru enanu kadai magdilas. It was so two of the people who were chosen to be on the Shivim Zakanim, they left, they stayed, they said, Eldad Medad said, they weren't roy to be on the Sanhedrin. V'hema baksuv, it's a funny pasuk. It says two people remained in the machane, v'tanach aleihem ruach, and the ruach kodesh came on them. V'heim baksuvim. What does it mean? Heim baksuvim. They were in the written. What does that mean? They were in the written thing, right? What does that even mean? Heim baksuvim.
Right. Totally.
Rashi. B'mevurarim shebe'am Sanhedrin. They were the ones who were chosen to be part of the Sanhedrin. V'nichtivu kulan nikuvim b'shemos v'aydei goron. They were all written and they were chosen by name, and it was done through a lottery. Why? Why did Moshe do a lottery? Because from the, just by the calculation, you're going to have 12 shvatim, so you're going to do 6 from every shevet. So you have a problem. 6 times 12 is 72. Chut mishnei shvatim she'im agim leim el chamisha chamisha. So there's only 2 shvatim. 2 shvatim have to only get 5. Because you can't have all of them have 6. There's only 70. So if each shevet has 6, you end up with 72. So 2 shvatim have only 5. Good? Following up.
Yeah, but, it's problematic, but true. Okay.
So what do you do? Amar Moshe, ain't Shevet Shemeli Lipachos Lifchos Mizimi Shifta Zekanecha. No Shevet's going to want only 5 on Sanhedrin when the other 10 have 6. So what do? He took a Gora, took 72 two lots, and he wrote Zakin on one, and they did a Gora, and right, and they were, and whoever got the Gora was the Zakin, whoever didn't, it wasn't. Okay, so 70 of the people were Eldad and Medad stayed back, those two. The other 70 were in the Olmoed, and the other 70, besides Eldad and Medad, we'll come back to them in a second, they all were on the Sanhedrin, and they were all, right, got Nevuah that one day. Okay, now I ask you like this. Good? So far we have the facts?
We said they all got Nevuah just because they were...
That was the plan. The plan was to make them Nevi'im, at least for a day.
Right.
And I think the Ramban explains it's to establish them in the eyes of the Am as leaders, as Nevi'im. And that would give them respect, and that would make them a conduit between Moshe and the people and allow them to influence the people and take the burden of raising the, of dealing with the community off of Moshe.
But why would you need to give them? Why would you need to give them nevuah in order for them to?
Because the nevuah, you'll see the kind of nevuah they have. That raises the fact that they're nevi'im makes the am either come to them for to daven for them, as Ramban explains, or it raises their esteem in the eyes of the people that they're prophets, not just chachamim.
Remember, they had a had to stand in Moshe's place.
So they're supposed to deal, take the burden off of Moshe.
Right, so
the Am wants to have Nevi'im, or we're going to, if these people are Nevi'im, they're going to have a problem, they're going to come to Moshe again.
But only for one day?
That just makes, it's Machlokas, but let's just say for one day, at least it establishes them as Nevi'im.
Right. Okay? I guess you want that for Korach, because that's when people probably got the Nevi'im.
Oh, now you see where I'm going.
Yeah.
Now I say it like this. Now I say it like this, okay? Okay, now... Now, who is on this Sanhedrin? Who are these 70 elders?
Right.
Okay. Now, first of all, let's start like this. There's, from each shevet, it's 12 shvatim. Okay. So whenever you have 12 shvatim, you always have an issue. Okay. Is, there's, are Menashe and Ephraim counted as two separate ones, and you leave out Shevet Levi? Or is Shevet Levi counted as one, and you and Menashe and Ephraim become one, Shevet Yosef? Okay, so I cannot find any raya which way it is. But I can find the halacha and the Rambam, which makes me say that Shevet Levi was included. Okay?
So therefore, Menashe and Ephraim were one.
Yes, I think so. That's my opinion. Okay? Because either that, or you're going to have to leave Shevet Levi out entirely, because there's only 12 Shvatim.
And that would make sense.
I think everybody else...
Yeah, that would ruin the whole Shia. Okay.
Yeah, then the
Shia
is gone.
But I think the Mahal... I think the general Mahal is the other way, though. That everybody kind of assumes that Menashe and Ephraim were 11 and 12. No, were 11 and 12, and Levi was out.
Was left
Levi
out. Was I'll tell you why I don't think it makes sense. In different situations, it works different ways. No. Okay, when it comes to Nachas Aretz, Shevet Levi is left out.
Right.
But when it comes to Nisim,
right,
then they were also left out because Aaron was, you know, Aaron was the Kohen. He brought his own, the menorah, right. That's all things. But in certain situations, Shevet Levi, like when is counted, it's like 12, right? It depends, like the brachos, right? Levi is counted and Menashe and Ephraim get reduced, right? So, right, Yaakov's brachos or Moshe's brachos also, right? Yosef is one, I think. Certainly Shevet Levi is included there. Or maybe he leaves out Shimon. That's right, he leaves out Shimon, whatever. So you always have 12. Sometimes Levi includes, sometimes he does not, depends. But the Rambam is in Perek Beis, Hilchos Sanhedrin, Halacha Beis. He says, "Umitzvah liyos b'sanhedrin gedola kohanim v'levim." So it's a separate mitzvah to have kohanim v'levim on the Sanhedrin gadol. Shnemar v'asal kohanim v'levim. V'im lo matzah afil kum Yisrael reizem mutter. So if you only have Yisraelim, it's mutter. Okay? But l'katchil, the mitzvah is to have kohanim v'levim. Okay? So I say it makes no sense in the situation of being mana Sanhedrin to leave out Shevet Levi. Because there's a special mitzvah to have Kohanim Levim on the Beis Din, on the Sanhedrin of Gadol. So it must be Shevet Levi was included. Okay? It must be. And Menashe and Ephraim were collapsed into Yosef. Which is fine. Okay? I'm just, that's why I would say it's... Okay, good. Now, Moshe has to choose six from Shevet Levi. So who's he going to choose? Korach is going to be one of those chosen. He's the Gadol of the Shevet. He's a Chacham Gadol. He's Mitoane Ha'aron. He's... Right? The whole Shevet is tafel to him. No doubt, Korach was one of the Zekanim, one of the Sanhedrin, the Zekanim for the Sanhedrin. And we know all of Shevet Levi made the cut, because Eldad and Medad didn't make the cut. Right? The other seven, they all made the cut. So Korach, whoever was chosen from Shevet Levi, didn't make the cut. And Korach, no doubt, was chosen by Moshe, and he made the cut. So now, he has to be on the, he's one of the Sanhedrin Gadol. Okay? Which adds to his tainas of Amma. He's not a slouch. He's one of the Zekanim. He's one of the Sanhedrin.
Adds to his... yeah.
Correct. Now, where do you see Korach Zanavi? Where does the Medrash get Korach Zanavi?
In that one day.
It's open. It's an open pasuk. Vayis Navu v'lo Yisafu. It's open pasuk there, Nevuah.
One day, like
yes,
else.
Open.
Oh, very nice.
Open Korach as Nevuah.
Oh, okay.
It's in a Mefurash pasuk.
Yeah, it's easy. Now it's easy. Okay.
Oh, it's an open pasuk.
Do
you see what I'm saying? You see what the Medrash is doing? It's placing you. Once you figure out where Korach is, and you see Aaron and Moshe tree Korach, then no doubt he was chosen to be on Sanhedrin. And if he's on Sanhedrin, he must have had Nevuah. So it's not such a far thing that Korach's a Navi. He must have been a Navi.
For one
day. At least one day. Correct.
It's a chalos. Good enough.
Correct. Now the question is, what did he see in that nevuah?
Shmuel.
Oh.
His prodigy.
Oh. Oh, now we could see what was his nevuah. Now, what was Eldad Ameda's nevuah? Okay. So Rashi says, based on the Gemara and Sanhedrin.
Eldad Ameda didn't get nevuah.
They did. Even Eldad Ameda got nevuah.
I thought he was in it.
Yes, because they were Anavim. So the Gemara and Sanhedrin goes through because they were Anavim. They humbled themselves. God says they'll get the nevuah also. They should have been. They took themselves out.
What does that mean? Does that
they
mean?
Also, they opened the passage that Eldad Ameda got
to. He was part of the six?
So then you don't need Korach to be in there to get nevuah.
Everybody got nevuah that day. All 72 got nevuah. The 70 elders got nevuah, and the two of the remainders also got nevuah b'machane. Eldad Ameda.
The pasuk say they got nevuah or the medrash.
Open the pasuk says.
What were the two remainders?
Eldad Ameda.
Why were they remainders?
They made themselves remainders.
Why did they make themselves remainders?
Because they were humble. They said, "We're not gonna die. There's no way we're gonna be chosen. If there's two people who are gonna be left out of this group of great people, we're the two bums." So because they lowered themselves, God gave the nevuah. It's open pasuk. The 70 is a Canaan. It says in pasuk Chaf Hey, Vayitain al Shivim Ish is a Canaan. Vayikenoach alem aruch vayisnavu v'lo yosafu. Open. And then Eldad Ameda, it says Vayishur Shnei Anashim b'machane Shem Echad Eldad Shem Hashem Meidad. Right. Vayisnavu b'machane.
And the ruach rested on, settled on them.
Right. Exactly. Vatanach aleihem haruach, also on them, and they also had nevuah.
What did they have?
That was 72.
Right. 72 total. Okay. 70 in the Olam Moed with Moshe
and Eldad Ameda.
Now, what was their nevuah? Eldad Ameda's nevuah.
Do we know?
Yes, we do. I mean, the Medrash knows.
Okay. All right. That's a good place.
Okay. Because we see Yeshua's reaction to them. Yeshua says, "Vayan Yeshua ben Nun Mesharis Moshe mibchur v'yomer Adoni Moshe kila aim." Lock them up or destroy them. He was bothered, right?
Why was he bothered again?
Oh, why? Put them in jail. Darach Rashi Tana Tanam El Beis Akeleh, but put them in jail. Why?
One second. Eldad and Medad were doing nevuah in the camp. What does that mean?
They were prophesizing in the camp.
They weren't supposed to be talking it out, and they were.
Whatever. No. Oh, they were prophesizing in the camp.
What does that mean?
They were saying, "Call Mar Hashem." I don't know. They were giving a nevuah, telling people nevuah.
But you mean they were only giving nevuah to shut up with, not to talk about it?
I don't know. Let's hear the Rashi.
But why did they run and tell Yeshua? And why did Yeshua say, "Lock him up"?
Oh, exactly. That's okay. The problem. Oh,
okay, fine.
Okay. So what was the nevuah? So Rashi says. So why does Yeshua want to put them in jail? L'fishayu misnavim Moshe meis v'Yeshua machnas Yisrael aretz. Their prophecy is Moshe is going to die and Yeshua is going to bring them in.
Oh.
Yeshua says, well, how could they chas v'shalom say that? Moshe Rabbeinu is before the sin even. For Moshe Rabbeinu's sin, how could they say that? Throw them in jail or just some get rid of them somehow. Okay.
How does the Medrash get that?
Now the other, it's a machlokes, what it is.
Unless it's free.
Yes. Then the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. It has two other possibilities. The other one is it's about the Slav. They said, come Slav, come Slav.
What's Slav?
Slav is the quail that was about to come.
Yeah.
God was about to bring, if you look in the next few psukim.
Next was the complaint that they didn't have meat.
So no, the complaint already happened, but the Slav was about to come. Right. So they prophesized the Slav is about to come.
Okay.
And the third position is they're misnav about Gog and Magog.
Yeah, my question is like this. If Yeshua knew... that it was nevuah.
The Rav has a nice shir on it, and Mahalos Chashir, he explains that one.
If Yeshua knew that they actually had nevuah from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they were saying nevuah,
it doesn't matter. The Chai, the Mori Berabim, to give a nevuah. So this is like
no right.
You're not allowed to. This is this story, I think, by...
Maybe they thought that they had
Chulda,
to.
Chulda
when I think there's a law if you have a nevuah, you have to say it.
If you're commanded to say it over. But not just if God gives you see, what was this, if you look at all three, this is why I want to bring out the Gemara and Sanhedrin, Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, is what's common about all the nevuahs? It wasn't a nevuah, go tell Bnei Israel, light the menorah. It were, or bring makrev karavan.
Maybe they didn't know the halacha.
No, it wasn't, but what wasn't that type of nevuah? The nevuah was a nevuah vasidus, is nevuah about the future. Either it's the near future, the Slav is coming, it's the far distant future, Gog and Magog, or it's somewhere intermediate that Moshe is going to die and Yeshua is going to be machlis.
Right.
But the nevuah is definitely about nevuah vasidus. That's the nevuah that they were privy to.
So you can't say anything that's related to your Rav?
No, I forgot where the Ramban is. He discusses why Dvorah wouldn't give a nevuah in front of Yirmiyah. But it's like the halacha, he wants to say the halacha of mor halacha fnei rabo. So, you can't pass an halacha fnei rebbe, applies for one navi to give a nevuah of asidus, of the future, in front of his another navi who's greater than him. So there's a greater navi, then a lower navi can't give that nevuah of future prophecies in front of that navi.
Okay, I heard you hear that.
Okay, it's the same halacha. He brings under the category of mor halacha fnei rabo.
Wait, Aaron was a navi, or was just going to that?
Aaron was a navi also. Okay, fine. My point is like this, okay? Korach is part of this nevuah, correct? On the Sanhedrin, and we see from what the content of the nevuah of this Vatanach Aleihem HaRuach is nevuah of the future, correct?
Yeah, but that still doesn't answer the question, though.
What's the question?
Just because you gave nevuah in front of a rabbi, that deserves to go, you deserve to go to jail.
Whatever.
Separate idea.
Okay, fine.
The Gemara in Sanhedrin takes it up. That's why it says, according to Shita holds that Moshe, Mace, Yeshua, Machnas, I understand. According to the other ones, what's the problem? Look at the Gemara there. Yud Zayin Aleph. The Gemara deals with it. Yeah, take a look at it. Okay? But you see there's a Nevuah of Asidus. Okay? So I say like this. Is now that Rashi, is where did Korach see the Nevuah about the future? Why did God give him a Nevuah about the future? Right, just to make him trip up? No, because that is what was going on over here. You had the nevuah of, clearly the other 70 Nevi'im weren't getting the same nevuah of Moshe, Mace, Yeshua, Machnas, or else Yeshua wouldn't have been so upset at these guys. But they were all getting individual nevuahs. They had different nevuahs. Mm-hmm. And each one had a nevuah pertained to the future. Okay, of the Asidus. Mm-hmm. Korach's nevuah was, he saw Shmuel would come from him, he saw 24 Mishmaros of Kahuna, because that was part of establishing establishing them as Nevi'im, establishing their credentials as great people. This apparently helped Korach. There could have been a value to it. There could have been a benefit for Korach to see this greatness come from him, to tell people, for other people maybe to see it. Who knows exactly who saw it, right? So this is the place at the Misonim where Korach gets his Nevuah, and he sees all this greatness coming from him. Okay? The Medrash is not just making up for nowhere. He must have been part of the Sanhedrin. Okay? The Torah doesn't tell us who he was. It doesn't tell us that. Okay? But Korach was on the Sanhedrin. He gets the Nevuah. He sees the future. And he chooses incorrectly. And he misuses that information. Now, Ariel's question, how did Moshe see? Right? How did Moshe see also? Because Moshe saw all their Nevuahs too. Because if you look, it says, V'dibarti imach, v'atzalti minaruch asher alecha. Is the Nevuah went through Moshe to them. Okay, that's what Moshe saw too. Moshe saw all these Nevuahs also. It wasn't just, okay.
Okay, so if Moshe and Peter saw all their Nevuahs,
yeah.
Why did Yeshua put them in jail?
Because they said it. Moshe didn't. Moshe didn't put them in jail.
No,
Moshe
Yeshua.
Said
to,
why, Yeshua
why,
didn't.
Why Yeshua, no, said Yeshua didn't see their Nevuah.
Yeah, Yeshua
but,
didn't.
But
Moshe did.
Why didn't
no.
Moshe stop Yeshua from putting them in jail?
He did.
Oh, he did.
Yomer lo Moshe, Hamakani Atali.
You didn't go to jail.
Meeting Kol Am Hashem Neviim, Kiten Hashem Es Ruch Aleim. Halvai, everybody should be Neviim. Don't worry about him, Yeshua. Chill out. Chill out, Yeshua.
Right.
Stop worrying about the problem.
Right.
Okay.
That makes me feel a lot better.
Okay, good. I'm glad to satisfy that. Okay, good. So now we see where the Medrash is getting from, that Korach is a Navi. If you look, if you analyze Korach, you analyze where he was from, you must realize he must have been on the Sanhedrin. He must have been part of the Shivim Ish. He must have got Nevuah, and that Nevuah contained Asidus. What did he see? He saw something in the future. And that thing in the future, the Medrash, now, how it knows the particulars, I don't know. That could be just good Medrash work. Sometimes you have to be a little creative. And they said that thing that he saw, that's what explains us how somebody such a Chacham could have made such a mistake. Okay, he saw the truth of what's going to come from him. No, he didn't understand it fully, and that caused him to make a mistake. That information was given to him that could have been used in a positive way. How exactly, I'm not sure. You could develop that. But he took it in the wrong way. It wasn't just, he didn't just my point is, the Medrash is not just making up some random idea that he's a Navi, he just got a Nevuah that just messed him over. No, the Medrash realizes he must have been a Zakin on the Sanhedrin, and he got this Nevuah with all the rest of them about the future, and that Nevuah could have been used for the good, like it was for the other ones, but for him, he ended up creating a stumbling block for him through his own Bechira. Okay, good. So far, so good?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what's left?
The last thing is, I want to take up a question, is why... Two questions. The first question is, why does Rashi not tell you this?
Because he had the Meshach Tanchuma.
What?
He had the Meshach Tanchuma.
No, but why doesn't he tell you that Korach was on the Sanhedrin? Mm. He could just say that. Make this a lot easier. I mean, it would kill the Shear if it was an open Rashi. But why does Rashi not say that? In fact, I'll go so far as, why doesn't anybody say this?
Because it wasn't true.
Why doesn't the Medrash? Why doesn't the Medrash say? Why doesn't anybody say this? Pshat.
Because it wasn't true.
We're not accepting that as an answer, Ariel.
Well, in one sense, like, now you kind of like feel bad for him.
I'm looking for an alternative answer to that question. Why isn't the Medrash say? Why isn't Rashi? Why isn't nobody says this? Nobody, no Rish, nothing, no Gemara, nothing. Nobody says this.
They don't
this.
Want you to know this.
What? They don't want you to know it. Oh, why not?
Because like you feel bad for him now.
Yeah, I do feel bad for him. He was a nice guy.
Korach. Korach, you feel bad.
He's a good guy.
You know, like before I heard this, I hated Korach.
Now you realize.
I want to take him out to coffee.
Okay, fine. So I'll tell you this: is I'm gonna say.
Wait, can we think about it?
No, we got like 8 minutes left. Okay, no time for thinking. You think after this year. Okay, for those of you listening on tape, you can pause it and think. Those in this year, there's no pausing. Yeah. Okay?
For the tape people, that's cute. That's cute.
Okay, I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, fine. Okay. So this is what I want to say, is why did the Rishonim and the Midrashim hide this fact? This fact that if you deduce it from all these Rashis and these Midrashim, it's clear that this is where they got the idea. He's a Navi. I mean, it's in the Midrashim that he's a Navi. Mm-hmm. That's there, but to identify, why doesn't it tell you he's in Sanhedrin? Korach has sent an engine. Okay, he was
why
a...
Why couldn't they elevate Korach?
Correct. Now, I'll tell you something else. It's not just, you see, I think that Rashi and the Midrashim are following the lead of the Torah. Because the Torah doesn't tell you that he was a Chacham Gadol, that he was a Mitoane Ha'aron, that he was the head of a Shevet, except through little inferences. Okay? The Torah doesn't tell you that the 250 people he gathered with him were the head of Sanhedrin, that they were Elitzur ben Shteor, the Nasi of Reuven. It doesn't tell you. Now listen to this Medrash, Medrash Tenchuma. It's the second one. It says like this: Vayikumu Vayikumu lifnei Moshe va'anashim ibnei Yisrael chamish masayim. So the Korach and these 250 people stood before Moshe. Umihem, who are these people? Elitzur ben Shtior v'chaverav. So the Nasi of Reuven, a big guy, and his friends, Asher Nikvu b'Shemos, they were called by name. Afa Pishalo Pirsimon HaKasav, even the Torah does not publicize who they are. Nasan Simoneim, it gives certain signs where you can figure it out. And we tell Chamekros Atamakrosam, and from the Psukim, if you don't learn the Psukim, you can figure out who they are. So the Medrash is showing you the Torah is not publicizing it. You have to know how to learn Psukim, like a Medrash knows how, in order to figure out who they are. Mashal Ma Davadoma, the Ben Tovim Shahla Shayagonev Kalim Beis Midrash. So he had the son of a good Ben Tovim. He would say son of good people, and he would steal Kalim from the Beis Midrash. Vloy wrote say Balag Neva Lafarsimo, but the Balag Neva, one who was robbed, he didn't want to publicize who this guy is. Hischa Nosim Bosimana. So he gave certain signs you could figure out who he was. Amrulo Miganov Kalach, who stole your Kalim. Amrulam Osa Ben Tovim, he's his son of good people. Ubal Komahu, Ain of Nos, he's a certain height, good stature, his nice eyes, Sarosov Shchos, black hair, Chomono, good nose. Mishinos and Simonov, once they give you his Simonim, certain indications, Yadumihu, you realize who it is. Okay, so if you're a smart guy, you can realize from the Simonim who the person is. It just doesn't do it openly. V'af Khan, Afapisha Staman HaKasov, even the Torah hides it, it conceals it. V'lo Perish Hashmos, it doesn't explicitly say who their names. Bavanasa Simonim, it gives you signs. Atudemihim, and you know how to learn the Psukim, you realize who they are. Nemar Lahalan is the Rashi. These are the Rashi we've read before. Kureya Eda Nesiyeh Matas Avosam Rashi Alfei Yisrael, him the leaders of the Thal of Klal Yisrael, the heads of the tribes. That's what it says in Bamidbar Perak Aleph. And then it says over here, Vigach Moshe Aaron Sanashim Elash Nikvu B'Shemos, also there. Nikvu B'Shemos. Venemar Khan Nesiyeh Eda Kureya Moed Anche Shem. Okay, so it gives you, if you know how to learn Psukim, you see that they use the same words to describe it over here, over there. You realize the same people who joined together with Korach are the leaders of the Shiftei Yisrael and the Kirei Moed, the heads of the Sanhedrins, big people. Okay, Elitzur ben Shteor and Chaver, because the Shevet Reuven, that's the Chazan, know is Elitzur ben Shteor. Okay, now why was the Torah so saying this whole thing? Why did it not tell you who these people were? Okay, why does it hide Korach's identity? It doesn't tell us who Korach really is, unless you can really figure it out. Okay, why? Is it because what Korach did was, he was undermining the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, he was undermining the nevuas of Moshe Rabbeinu, the shlichas of Moshe Rabbeinu, Misinai, the vegan b'chol yaminu la'olam, that Sinai was trying to create, establishing Moshe as a shliach neman for Torah Shebaal Peh, and Korach and his Ada were rebelling against that, undermining that. They're undermining the whole proof, the whole argument we have of Sinai, of the Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu, of everybody accepted, everybody heard, and nobody could possibly deny. And here you have great people, the head of the Gadol Shebelevi, and then the other Sanhedrin, and they're rebelling against him. They're saying they don't deny it. It undermines the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu. And you see what Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, that in Bria, if they die in a special way, he goes out of his way. They have to be die in a special way, a new Bria, the earth has to swallow them up. And then God sent me, and if they didn't, then God never sent me to do any of these things. You see, it's a question. They're attacking the Shlichus of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the higher you raise up Korach and his Ada, the more legitimacy you grant to his tainas and to his rebellion. Okay, and the Torah holds he was misguided. It was an emotional thing. And the greater, and the, no matter how great a person is, it doesn't mean he's above the pettiest of emotions. And his emotion was as petty as jealousy, and his stupid emotion that destroyed his life, and all these other Rosh Hashanahs, his stupid jealousy, and a petty, petty emotion. But just because a person is a Chacham Gadol, the greatest person, doesn't mean he's above the simplest petty jealousies. Okay, that's what happened. That's the story. But a regular person who reads that is not going to believe that. They don't believe that somebody as great as Korach, the Nasi of Sheva Ruvain, Sanhedrin, they're not petty. There must have been something to their argument. There must have been something there. And that would undermine the whole Torah, the whole Torah Shebaal Peh and Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Torah doesn't want to hide it completely, but on the other hand, it hides it. It hides the fact who these people are. It gives you enough, if you know how to learn, if you're on the level to learn, you can realize who these people are, and you can realize that no matter how great a person is, emotion still can get the person. It's an important message, and it's an important part of the whole story. But the Torah conceals it. And the Midrashim, that's why I say Rashi and the Midrashim also conceal it. They don't tell you that Korach wasn't the head of Sanhedrin. Okay, they don't want you to know he's a Chacham, but was he Moshe had selected him to be a Zakin and he was a Navi and the head of Sanhedrin? So I say the Midrashim don't spell it all out. Some things you have to put together for yourself. There is an element in Parshas Korach, which I say Chazal and the Rishonim got from the Torah itself. Is that who these people are and the greatness of the people who rebelled against Moshe. There's an idea of hiding it and just leaving allusions to it that you let the person who's able to learn on his own figure it out. But there's an Indian here of being of so same, of hiding the godless of Korach and his Ada. Okay, and the Torah did it, and Chazal and Rashi and Midrashim, I say, followed that. And that's why it doesn't say it. Okay? Good.
Just because it would have undermined.
It undermines the greater, unless you can appreciate
credence to Korach's undermining of Moshe.
Correct. If you can't appreciate that point, then not everybody can appreciate the point that no matter how great a chacham somebody is, how great a tzaddik, a navi, that they can still be subject to the stupidest, pettiest emotions. And not everybody can appreciate that point. And they wouldn't believe it. They wouldn't accept it.
Yeah,
it's true. It is true.
They have emotions like everybody else.
Why not?
They act on them as often.
Korach has a pikeach. Still,
why wouldn't we accept? We know if we know they're human, and we know that humans.
You know that, Ariel. That's why I could tell this year to you.
So you're saying that
not everybody reads Torah Shebichsav. Not everybody who's ever read Torah Shebichsav. A lot of people have read Torah Shebichsav over the generations, and not everybody reads Torah Shebichsav appreciates that point. And the Torah hides the identity of the his Ada and the godless of Korach because. It would give too much credence to Korach's Ada and to Korach's argument if you saw how great they were, and people would not be able to appreciate the fact that it doesn't matter how great they were. They still succumb to the stupidest, pettiest emotions.
It was about Korach.
Yeah, right. It was his stupid jealousy.
But when you learn the parsha, you think it's about Moshe. Korach came to attack Moshe.
Rebel, correct. Yeah. But Torah marginalizes.
So what about Moshe Rabbeinu, like hitting the rock? He screwed up.
Yeah, you made a mistake. Correct.
So why do we have to publicize that?
That was public.
It's not. If you look at this whole chet, it's completely nistar.
Really?
The whole chet. You don't know what the chet was.
Yeah, he was told.
Really?
You're saying it's in the rock. You're learning like Rashi. Guy, that's
they,
one
they,
way.
They got angry at the guys.
Yeah, that's not.
They talking about Rashi, says
no, there's right, very few much, sins that are more hidden than Moshe.
How many
said.
Words are written about that whole
thing? That's what they have to think of. I don't know.
There's even more about Adam and Chava than there are about the Moshe Rock, and there's nothing by Adam and Chava.
Adam and Chava.
Good. You guys here this year? So we answered all the questions. Okay, good. As I say, in this regard, sometimes the world of Medrash, right? Sometimes I think the world of Medrash is closer to the historical story than the Pshat. Here, I think the Pshat is painting a little. You get a different picture of what's going on, and the Medrash is
about Moshe.
Yeah, and then the Medrash is really filling out who Korach was, who his Ada was, and I think when you really appreciate where it's going on, and you see Korach's lineage, who he comes from, where he's going, his kids, you realize that's who he was, and there was really more here than the Torah is openly stating. If you know to learn the pasuk, psukim, like the Medrash Tanchuma says, if you know to learn the psukim, you'll realize it. So I say sometimes the Medrash, the world of Medrash, is closer to the historical account, but really occurred in the world of Pshat. And this is, I think, one of those cases.